This is the Popmatic Podcast for December 9th, 2015. Don't you hate it when your earbud cord gets yanked out of your phone?
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best music of the year episode. This is the Popmatic Podcast, where you can rock out with your library card out. And joining me today—wait, have I done this before?
Who are you?
What?
I am Brian, and joining me today are
Amanda, Sarah,
Mike,
and Jesse.
Whoa!
New people.
Can't make fun of Jeremy this time.
We locked him in the closet. He'll be back next week.
You know, playing Elvis Costello and ELO
right.
on Infinite Loop.
We got done. We're like, dude, just go in your closet.
Guest podcasters, music is the purview of the hip, so we reduced the nerd ratio today.
I hate to tell you, you made a bad joke.
you didn't even wait for the second part of the joke. So we solicited some library hipsters to come and pose all over this podcast. I thought for sure you'd have something.
No.
Okay, then. So pose. Pose they will. All right, podcast listeners, just like last year, we're going to do our top three. We're all going to give our number three. Then we're all going to give our number two. No jokes. Then we're all going to give our number one.
Number three.
Hey, Mike, can you do
that
number thing that you do?
Oh, why number three?
A little more excitement.
Number three!
Yeah!
Mike at a Motorhead.
All right!
I saw more concerts in 2015 than perhaps my entire lifetime combined.
I love that we've corrupted you.
Yeah, you guys.
We did.
Musicalness. While I didn't quite have the transcendent experience I had in 2013, I will say I had quite a fun time at all of them. I thought for number three. I would save your ears from yet more Motorhead. Instead, talk about another concert that I did mention on the podcast. Way back in May of this year, I went to go see the symphonic gothic metal band Nightwish at the Marathon Music Works. Despite it taking me half an hour to find a parking space, I had a really good time. Oh man, I parked on the side of the road. I thought I'd be towed the entire time. But I did not. It was a metal miracle. Now, while Nightwish was really good, the stand-up performance for me, which was a surprise, since most opening acts were just there to bore me until the band comes on stage. Ooh. Last year, there was a dude with a guitar for half an hour. Oh, I wanted to break it over his head.
That's how that usually works at rock concerts.
That's pretty standard, really.
Yeah. Dude and a guitar, come on, man. Can't you get, like, another, like, person with a drum set or something?
Ukulele or something?
Yeah, you know.
Accordion.
Those are on sale right now, so.
Piccolo.
What's that one where you, like, breathe into it, but they play... Not a clarinet, but one little...
Melodicon?
Yeah, Melodicon, yeah.
Oh,
this is podcast gold. Yeah. Keep going. What band would you like to see?
We're gonna record this until noon. Yeah. It's going to be great. Anyway, the band is called Sabaton. All right, my buddy Matt, an expert in all things metal, warned me that, quote, Sabaton sucks, and that they are every power metal cliche rolled into one. They look ridiculous, and they totally suck. I said that twice on purpose because he kept telling me that they sucked. So I was all prepared. I was mentally like, these guys are going to suck. But I'm going to hear to say that they were, while he's completely right about all the cliches, they totally rule. Yeah! While the actual music is your bog standard power metal, instead of singing about dwarves and elves and crap, you know, all their songs about war and lots of times actual battles and veterans and stuff. Why, here, have a listen to one of my favorite songs from that performance. It's called To Hell and Back.
A short man from Texas, a man of the wild, thrown into combat where bodies lie piled. Hides his emotions, his blood's running cold. Just like his victories, his story unfolds. Right, a white light. If there be any glory in war, let it rest on them like hell.
It's about Audie Murphy, the most decorated American soldier from World War II. It's from the album Heroes, and it's available on Freegal.
All right, well, with so many great albums released this year and several new artists on the radio, it was difficult narrowing down my top three, but I'm happy with my choices, and I hope our listeners will be too. First, I'd quickly like to give an honorable mention to the band The Weeknd. I recently listened to his album Beauty Behind the Madness on Hoopla, and it was a contender in the race. Plus, his performance at the AMAs was awesome. But, alas, he did not make my list. But my number three choice for Best Music of the Year is the second album released by the folk alternative country band The Lone Bellow. On January 27th, they released the album Then Came the Morning with the hit single of the same name. Though they have their own unique sound, blending alternative with folk chords and blues rhythms, you could still compare them to bands such as The Head and the Heart, Jason Isbell, The Civil Wars, and so many other folk bands. Now you might say, Sarah, there are so many other great albums released this year like Wilder Mind by Mumford, Sound and Color by the Alabama Shakes, or even Florence's new album. Why this band from Brooklyn that I've possibly never heard of? Well, first of all, shame on you if you haven't heard of them, because their self-titled first album was just as amazing as the second. And second of all, I saw these guys perform at the Rites of Spring at Vanderbilt this year, and they were close to, if not the best performance of that festival. Young the Giant and Portugal the Man were great, but by the end of the Lone Bellow set, I was confident that I would be seeing them again in the future. Sometimes even the greatest of artists are not great live, and I've seen it when that happens. It's a shame, but that's not the case here with this band. They play their hearts out on stage. They played several from the new album, including my faves Take My Love, Marietta, and Call to War. Tell us toe-tapping song Heaven Don't Call Me Home, the lead singer walked out onto the crowd. Yep, I said walked onto. People were holding him up as he conducted the crowd to sing along. So check these guys out, plus their first album. The library has a copy of their first album, or you can download both albums from Freegal. Jesse.
So I didn't rank mine hierarchically, so I'm going to just talk about something that I liked.
You monster. Not
you feel.
That's exactly. That's what Bill did last week on the book segment, and then his number one ended up being a YA novel by Rob Thomas, the guy that wrote Veronica Mars.
What?
Yeah, who saw that coming?
I actually was going to talk about an album that Rob Thomas from Veronica Mars recorded. No,
Rob Thomas.
Not the Matchbox 20 guy?
No, not the Matchbox 20 guy. So I feel like I'm not good to... like qualified to talk about music because
I'm surprised I'm here every year.
It doesn't matter like what streaming radio service I put in. I'll put in like a brand new song and say like play more music like this, and my device always knows like no, you just want to listen to Pavement and Guided by Voices. Like, and that really is the truth. That's all I want to listen to is Pavement and Guided by Voices. But there's a few things that I discovered this year that I really liked. The first one that I want to talk about is an album by Natalie Press, who lived in Nashville for a little while and then left because nobody paid attention to her here. And then she recorded a really awesome album that I'm going to have to look up the name of because I forgot.
How do you take your time?
So it's a self-titled album.
That's why I didn't know the name of it.
All right.
So she left Nashville because nobody paid attention to her here. And then she went and recorded this awesome album that's done sort of in the like Motown style, where it's a recording studio that has a house band. So she showed up with her songs, and then they worked the album out. It doesn't sound like Motown to say, like, the Motown style, but it's for, like, an indie rock album, there's lots of horns and cool arrangements, and it's really beautiful music. She has a really nice voice.
Waiting on the train.
It doesn't fit with my Guided by Voices or Pavement thing, but it was a beautiful record and worth checking out, especially for free on Freegal.
Freegal's awesome.
So, Amanda, yeah, what did you rank?
So, my number three choice is Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars. Ronson is a British DJ who tapped Bruno Mars for this track on his fourth album, Uptown Special, which I didn't realize. I thought it was a Bruno Mars song, but it's really a Mark Ronson song.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman, I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot.
It was technically released in November 2014, but that still counts. So the song basically blew up the world in the spring and kind of put Ronson on the map in his own right instead of just being known as the brother of that DJ girl who used to date Lindsay Lohan.
Don't believe me, just watch.
I think it's fair to say that this song was my husband's favorite, and so by definition I had to listen to it a lot too, so I had to like it. And to this day, you know, so many months later when it comes on the radio in the car, he still gets excited and does a little car dance. So, and I kind of enjoy that. But I have been a Bruno Mars fan for a long time, and I kind of thought this song was better than most of what was on his last album, so that was kind of fun. The song showcases what Wikipedia calls, finger quotes, the Minneapolis sound of the 1980s era funk music, which, you know, would be like Prince or Morris Day's influence. I can't say that I knew there was such a thing as the Minneapolis sound. but I guess
we just got a book on the Minneapolis sound.
Well, this is it. There you go.
60s?
They said 80s.
80s, okay.
A bit more Prince.
Well, there's a 60s, that terrible song that Jeremy liked, The Bird or whatever.
The Surfing Bird?
Yeah, I think it's the...
Totally. The Trash Bin and Morris Day are completely different worlds, so.
I know, I'm just saying,
you know,
Minneapolis
it's
sound.
It's all Minneapolis.
It's just a surprise to me because I showed Susan, you know, who's from Minnesota, and she's all like, whoa.
Yeah, so we need to talk to her about Minneapolis.
And that leads to Soul Asylum, for sure.
That's right.
They had a really great hardcore punk scene in the mid-90s, also.
So, back to Uptown Funk. There have been some copyright issues with this song, but frankly, it's made so much money that everyone can, you know, argue all the way to the bank. But as for me, I think I like the Uptown Funk / Ghostbusters mashup that somebody put online. Because let's be honest, everything is better with a little bit of Ghostbusters. The library has the original version on Now That's What I Call Music. I think it's volume 53, and it is also downloadable from Freegal.
I was really hoping you were going to throw in the Don't Believe Me, Just Watch joke in there or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get there.
My 8-year-old son, who has discovered cuss words this year, likes to sing the song and change the lyrics to... changes the funk to something else.
Oh no.
He sings it in the death metal voice also.
Yes.
Girl.
Awesome. Yeah. Next week on the podcast, Jesse Sillin sings.
I was going to say, can you give us a recording of that?
He would do it if I asked him to.
Brian?
All right. So the last time Sarah was on the show, I believe it was the CMA Fest episode. Was it? Was I talking about Tanya Tucker?
Oh, yeah, you called her Tanya the whole time, and I had to laugh.
That's how you say her name.
I love Tanya Tucker.
Tanya. I don't know, sure.
I don't know, but I just think the last time you were on the show, I think I ended up talking about this noise artist called Sewer Goddess, you know, and I got a note from administration that maybe I should just lay off the music episodes, but I don't care. I'm talking today. I am talking
today.
He's
in charge. He can do what he wants.
I'm glad, Amanda, that you brought up this issue of copyright, because, of course, I'm going to push the issue. So
it's fun to talk about music.
Well, as we'll say later, you can do an entire episode on that.
All of my number threes this year and my best ofs are actually things that you can get on the internet for free legally. So that's kind of a theme that will emerge as our best of the year episodes go on. But my number three for stuff that you can hear... stuff that I listened to this year is the Over the Edge radio show. It is a sound collage show that's been running on KPFA Berkeley since 1981. Each episode is a 3-hour excursion into America's audio subconscious. Each show will have a theme, like advertising or Star Wars or Eminem or Blade Runner or Your Mind is God, which they've done 11 volumes of. So the host, Don Joyce, will live mix songs, like guerrilla recorded audio, news footage, and ads into sort of like an absurdist meta symphony. Kind of like maybe the audio equivalent of God Hates Astronauts that Mike had talked about in the last week's episode. This format is sometimes referred to as Plunder Phonics. So I recently just listened to one about advertising, and what it was he would play actual ads. Then he would play like scenes from movies about like ad executives being scumbags. And then he would play like marketing training tapes, and then he would also do like guerrilla recordings of like focus groups after they were like shown products or TV shows, and he would mix it all together with music. It was hilarious. And then there was one about the
sounds fascinating.
Well, it was hilarious, right? Like you cut it all together, and then the one was about rock and roll being devil's music. And he had clips and things of, like, preachers and cultural pundits, like, from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, basically expounding why rock and roll is satanic and evil.
Did he play them backwards?
Yes, absolutely. And at the beginning, though, it starts with the 1960s, and he plays some Bob Dylan, and it's, like, some good Bob Dylan, right? Because, like, Dylan is the beginning of sort of the idea of, like, pop music auteur, you know, but then also, like, cultural rebellion or whatever. But then as it goes on, instead of, like, actually playing the sort of 80s heavy metal that people were complaining about, he would just play, like, really crappy Dylan songs from the 80s.
So this idea
that, like, Dylan's music might be satanic, but actually because some of it is so incredibly bad. It was hilarious. So the show's original host and live creative operator was Don Joyce, and he did this show once a week from 1981 to 2015, and this July he passed away unexpectedly. Now, the show goes on with a new host, but the members of the band Negative Land, which Mr. Joyce was a member of, took all of the episodes of Over the Edge show that they had archived and uploaded them to the Internet Archive for the whole world to see. That is over 950 shows, at least 3 hour in length, for everyone to go back to. A lifetime of bizarro world audio soup. In regards to copyright, some of the stuff is kind of gray area, I think. The radio station probably had paid the licensing to broadcast the songs originally, but they probably not allowed to upload the songs to the internet. But the songs are never played in full. They're always like screwed and chopped and mixed with other stuff. So arguably it's parody or like recontextualized. And also some of the stuff I know that they play that he did not have rights to play. Like clearly some of the recordings are like stolen or like guerrilla recorded things. So, but they're there for you to explore the Over the Edge radio show on the Internet Archive.
Number two.
Keep going.
All right, number two. I was reading the comments section for a review of the excellent film Don't Think I've Forgotten Cambodia's Lost Rock and Roll earlier this year on the late lamented website The Dissolve, shed a tear, when someone there mentioned the band Dengue Fever. I could kind of remember enjoying one of their songs years and years ago when I was on a Welcome to Night Vale kick. You know, they do like, and now the weather, and then they show just the weirdest music ever. But thanks to the awe-inspiring power of YouTube, I am now totally infected with Dengue Fever. You know, dangerous low blood pressure, hemorrhages, and an awesome band. A brief recap from the last time I recommended them way back and on May 20th. Their music is kind of a mixture of Cambodian rock and roll, indie rock with some psychedelic and surf rock thrown in. I totally dig it. Many of the songs are sung in Cambodian or Khmer. They released a CD this very year called The Deepest Lake, which I bought with real human money, which if you listened to last week's episode, you'll be like, wait, why'd you buy music, Mark? You just said you don't. Well, I hadn't had my streaming epiphany yet, so don't judge me. Spotify has a version of The Deepest Lake where each track is its own commentary track, which is kind of neat, actually. You should check that out if you have Spotify. It's also on Freegal. Might I recommend the song Cardboard Castles?
number two choice goes to Moon Taxi with their newest album, Daybreaker. These guys will always be one of my favorite bands and quite possibly my favorite live band because no one puts on a live performance quite like these guys. No one show is ever the same as the next with them, and that's usually how I prefer it. But if you're unfamiliar with Moon Taxi, they are a local band that's been hitting it big ever since the release of their second album, Mountains, Beaches, Cities. I chose their newest album for the best of the year not because they're a band that I love, but because they've really shown their musical range with this newest album. It's got a beachy summertime vibe, especially with the name, but mixed with funky and alternative beats. In one song, you even hear a saxophone. I was blown away with this album because it's unlike anything else they've produced. My favorite songs include the hit single All Day, All Night, which usually demonstrates the summertime vibe.
All day and all night, my eyes are open. All day and all night, I've been going. All day and all night, we stay up, we stay on.
I've also listened to Who's to Say and Red Hot Lights on repeat. Red Hot Lights reminds me of the Black Keys style a bit and is reminiscent of some of Moon Taxi's earlier stuff, but it's still unique. You can check out this album from the library now. Well, not right now because I still have it checked out.
I know.
And you can download some of their earlier stuff from Freak Al. Jesse, what's your number two?
So my number two is a rapper named Open Mike Eagle.
Sorry, yeah. Sounds like a jumble of nouns to me.
It is, yeah. I think his real name is Mike Eagle, and then he added the open L in the beginning.
Like right? Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, just like that. but we only have one EP of his available on Freegal that came out this year. It's called A Very Special Episode. It's a companion piece to his album that came out late last year, Dark Comedy.
The album Dark Comedy is also available now on Freegal.
I really like Mike Eagle. He is, I think he describes himself as art rap, which is, I think, a bad word to use because art rap makes me think more of like Kanye West and a weird sheet like dancing around on Saturday Night Live.
I watched that.
Yeah, I remember that, yes.
Yeah, but so, like in the past, I felt like the choice I had to make was like underground rap had good lyricists, and then mainstream rap had music that sounded good, and the underground rappers didn't focus on the like beats so well. I also should say that I feel unqualified to talk about rap music.
Never stopped any white person.
Yeah,
from doing
of
so
course,
before.
Yeah. Obviously, right. Yeah. Yeah. So I want to handle it delicately, like in that regard. But the music is really good. It's like fun to listen to, as well as being the lyrics are sort of conscious, I guess. It's not misogynistic at all, which is kind of nice. And he's a good mix of being really smart, but also, like, very funny in a kind of stupid sort of way.
I'm a rapper, we lament being broke. All the comics get money, but they spend it on coke. You can watch us on the news feed. Up y'all's warnings up until America admits that it likes dogs more than us. And I can see the Super Bowls of the future. The Ferguson Blacks versus Missouri State Troopers. The privacy rights versus the personal computers. Concussion researchers versus university boosters. I graduated college, I purchased all the extra books. I'm supposed to be living in a house with a breakfast nook. Joke's on me though, all this cheap alcohol and no Coke Zero.
It makes me think of like Louis C.K. a little bit, the way nice. That he can like be sort of intelligent but also make fart jokes and stuff like that. And I think he hung out with a lot of stand-up comedians in the past couple of years, like trying to add that sort of element of performance into his rapping. He also has a guest spot on this EP by MC Paul Barman, which was one of my favorite rappers from the late 90s, just like super nerdy white guy who as well was like really smart and really disgusting, kind of funny. But it's good stuff. You can listen to it for free on Freegal. But that's my number two for this year. And it's really like jumped me off to listening to a lot more hip-hop music this year than I do have in years past because I've just enjoyed that so much. Led to other things. Amanda, what's up with you?
Well, my number two pick is called Insomnia Olympics by Blockhead. And sometimes when I'm working on things at work, I like to have music on in the background. But if it's something that needs words, like working on stuff for the podcast or the off-the-shelf blog,
music with words is kind of counterproductive. I can't really focus. So if traditional classical music is not cutting it, I'll go for something a little bit more dubstep or EDM. Most of it is just kind of background noise for me, but every now and again a song will kind of jump out. And Insomnia Olympics is one of those songs. It takes as its source Aaron Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man and then kind of puts a hip-hop beat underneath it. And I'm not saying that I like Copland's piece, but it's the song I actually chose to walk down the aisle to when I got married, so it's kind of important.
I'm not going to psychoanalyze that.
I don't think I would have picked the blackhead version, you know, for the actual ceremony because I like the classical one, but it is kind of fun to hear a modern version of it. Blockhead is actually Tony Simon. He's a hip-hop producer in Manhattan. And Insomnia Olympics is the first track off his 2004 album, Music by Cave Light. Now, unfortunately, the library doesn't have this exact record.
This is how this information makes me feel.
But we do have his more recent 2014 release, Capture the Sun. And he actually collaborated with Illogic on that one. And it's available on Hoopla, so you can take a listen. I don't find it quite as mellow as Cave Light, but you can still get an idea kind of what his style is like. Brian?
I dig it. I also am going to talk about electronic dance music for my number two pick. But of course, I'm going to bend the rules again, and I'm going to say not just one artist, but the entire Mute Records catalog, which is available on Hoopla. Look at Mike shaking his head in just total disgust.
He did it to himself.
I'm just surprised you recommend an entire record label. Okay.
Mute Records was founded in 1978 by Daniel Miller. It went on to be one of the most influential electronic dance and industrial labels of the 1980s. He discovered and signed a little band called Depeche Mode. Maybe you've heard of them. But a lot of other artists that are closer to my heart, like Einstürzen, Neubauten, DAF, Throbbing Gristle, Cabaret Voltaire, Gnaw and Liebach. Okay, that's my entire record collection. Crystal is not here, but she also loves a lot of the acts that have been signed on Mute Records over the years. In particular, Yazoo, which is a kind of Depeche Mode offshoot, or just Yaz, as they were known in the United States. Other artists that other people like that have been signed to Mute over the years include Nick Cave, Erasure, Wire, Fad Gadget, Goldfrapp, Liars, and Moby. In 2002, EMI bought the entire Mute Records catalog. The writing on the wall being because they wanted to basically have Moby in their stable of artists, or at least his royalties. And that kind of is a lesson in the economy of scale and the record business. So you have this record label with over 20-year history with this prestigious back catalog that's been entirely in print for most of that time, and it'll just get bought up by a larger major player.
Since then, EMI's been bought, I think, by Universal since then.
Yes, absolutely, so. Yeah, since then. And then the artists, where those artists live has been since split up in Europe anyway because of antitrust stuff in Europe. Now, supposedly, Daniel Miller actually still controls Mute, even though it's owned by other people. And it still exists as a label. And just so it doesn't seem like I'm indulging my own personal back catalog, Mute still signs some of the most influential and boundary-pushing artists today. Case in point, Arca, or Alejandro Gersi. He's a producer who's done work for Bjork and FKA Twigs. His second solo album, Mutant, just came out. It's available on Hoopla, like with most of the rest of the Mute catalog. It'll probably be on a lot of other year-end best lists. You know, if Aphex Twin would have kept pursuing the direction he was going with the Window Licker EP back in 1999, you'd probably have Arca. Yes, this podcast is the one where the 90s will not die.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that's cool.
So Mute catalog on Hoopla. Check it out. If you want something new and hip, in particular, Arca, their second record, Mutant.
Number one. All right.
Number one.
So, months ago, I read on Dengue Fever's Facebook page that the Deepest Lake was on a best of the year so far list on some music website. I was too lazy to look it up. I've been trying to be more curious about and open-minded musically. So, armed with various streaming services, I resolved to try everything on that list. One of them was only available on cassette. I don't understand the music industry anymore. I don't think I ever did. While some...
That's where it's at now.
Oh, boy. You can't listen to it online because you're like, cool and stuff. Anyway, while some of the songs were quite good, I liked San Fermin's Jackrabbit. It was fun. The stand-up for me was the first that I tried. A song so good that immediately became my song of the year. And this was way back in, like, August. By the band Viet Cong. And it's called Continental Shelf.
I think they changed their name.
I was just about to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Jumping the gun, I'm sorry.
Yeah, geez.
We've had a whole episode about that.
Well, no. Oh, yeah. We mentioned it on some... I tried to look up which episode we mentioned that on, but I couldn't find it. Viet Cong is a post-punk band that was formed in Calgary back in 2012. Their debut album came out in January. As mentioned previously on this podcast, moments ago, the band decided to change their name. After their tour is over, which I'm totally cool with because the Viet Cong were pretty bad dudes. There's a documentary I may mention next week that, like, salty water ran down my face after the end of it because it was pretty brutal. And it's like, oh, we're going to name our band after these guys.
You know, just for argument, you've named things after Dengue Fever.
Sure.
And now the Viet Cong. So, I mean, like, you have...
Yeah. What is going on?
Oh, yeah.
It's like My Little Pony.
Next week.
You hate Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Hey, next week, you know, I may mention my favorite new band, Ho Chi Minh.
Cool. Oh, it would be more funny if that band didn't exist, but I'm sure that
it does. Sure it does
somewhere.
Have you heard there's an electronic dance band called Sex Tourism in Bangkok? I'm sure you love them.
I've not heard of that, but I'll look it up.
That's what Spotify is for.
Yeah.
That's right. I know this is the music episode and all, but I also like to recommend the video for Continental Shelf, especially since we don't have their self-titled album, and this is the way you can look it up on this podcast. Oh! The video is quite astounding, one of the best videos I've ever seen. Note, I like really overly artsy videos. I don't really, you know, surrealist nonsense trumps a band yelling at the camera walking down a sidewalk in L.A., at least to me. The interview, the director, was interviewed on Pitchfork, which I could send to Brian, maybe. And he described the video as referencing classic horror films, art house cinema, and the work of modern Belgian painter Michael Bormans. Good stuff. But since we don't have their self-titled album with Continental Shelf on it, we do have an EP of theirs called Cassette, which is on Hoopla. The song Throw It Away is pretty good.
Choice. I really wanted to choose Florence's new album, How Big, How Blue, How Beautiful, but I still love Ceremonials more. Granted, whatever. Anyway, because it's a truly emotional piece of work, but new artist Rin Weaver beat her out. Rin's sound is similar to Florence and reflects some of the songs from Florence's Ceremonials, as I already just mentioned, because it's an amazing album. But Rin is, she's unique in her own right, which is why she was my number one pick for the best music of the year. I couldn't tell you how many times I've listened to her album, The Fool is the title, but let's just say it's a lot. I was first introduced to her music when I heard her hit single Octahate, which is, I know, it's a great name. Yeah. 8x8 or something like that, yeah. With its electropop vibe, the single grew quickly popular, hitting over 1 million plays from SoundCloud in the first week alone. Simply said, it's catchy. The album is meant to tell a story, her story specifically, of this journey she has been on during the process of producing music. There's a theme of travel and adventure and not wanting to settle down, which is probably why I enjoy it so much. I empathize with her with my wanderlust tendencies. Runaway is the first song on the album, establishing the raw and creative tone for the rest of the album. The best song in the album comes after Octahate, which is the song Pierre. It's hard to describe in a musical sense why this song is good, but it is. It's hard not to want to dance when it's playing. It gets progressively better throughout the chorus, plus her musical talent shines through during this song as well.
And then I found me a lover who could play the bass. He's kind of quiet, but his body ain't. Spent the days dreaming and the nights awake, doing things we know we shouldn't do. Cause I wouldn't be with you. Says he can't believe he found me. Wraps his arms around me.
The album is also filled with several other strong hits like The Fool and Promises that represent her diverse and whimsical sound. It ends peacefully with the song New Constellations, which blends her good voice with a folk sound. It actually reminds me a little of Florence's song Never Let Me Go from Ceremonials, mentioning it again. So it's quite suiting because I still manage to keep Florence in my choices. I recommend checking out The Fool today from Hoopla. I fully believe her sound and style will strike a chord with everyone that listens.
Jesse?
You keep talking about, right? Yeah.
You're talking about Florence. You're not talking about my great grandmother, Florence.
No.
Florence and the Machine, I think.
Florence and the Machine.
I saw her live.
You know, she has a side, like, she moonlights.
Not,
she's
not the city of Italy. Not,
yeah, oh, really.
Florence Henderson, the mom
Henderson,
from.
Yes.
If my Fofo's releasing records, it's like Tupac style from Beyond the Grave. So not her. Florence and the Machine.
And the Machine, yes. Saw her live this year. She's great live.
Okay. All right. So for my number one pick, I am going to pick this not new music that was released this year, but it was my most excited music discovery this year was that Freegal now has everything that the band The Beat Happening has ever released on Freegal. And that was one of the groups that I would like search every few months because I forgot that Freegal didn't have anything. And then one day I did. And I was like, oh, look at this. Everything, which I already had.
Yeah, they suddenly have everything now. You know, it's kind of neat.
Yeah, they're really like... They go through long periods where they don't acquire new stuff or just, like, pop stuff they don't care about. And then, like, they just, like, wholesale buy a back catalog of some other music streaming licensing place or something. But Beat Happening from the, I guess, the late 80s to through the 90s, their first album is self-titled, is, like, really cutesy, stripped-down indie pop kind of stuff. And as the time went on, their albums became more part of, like, the grunge movement. They're from the Pacific Northwest, so they were one of those, like, other rands in the Nirvana era. But I don't think they ever wanted or deserved their Nirvana kind of accolades. But they are, like, one of my favorite groups. One of the guys from the band, Calvin Johnson, runs K Records, which at the time in my life when I would know about record labels and a record label represented more than just music, but, like, a lifestyle sort of. K Records were the like the record label that I wanted to I don't dress like and listen to, you know, any album that came out I was okay with listening to. This is, you know, back when I was learning to be a cool kid, and I've obviously forgotten about it.
I told you the hipsters were gonna pose.
Yes.
Oh well.
And you broke out Beat Happening, by the way.
I love them, and it's not new in any way. Hope maybe somebody listening to this will discover them and keep the legacy going.
Yeah,
one of my favorite bands of all time, and they're available on Freegal, which is super exciting to see. And there's a lot of other stuff from Kate that's shown up on Freegal. Also, band The Microphones, who I really loved a lot, who are still releasing music under a different name, but...
How did they spell? Is it Beats, B-E-A-T, or B-E-A-T?
B-E-A-T.
Okay, I'm picturing Beats, like, from Doug.
Like a...
From
like I think, like...
The cartoon.
Beat Happening, like a happening in the 60s.
Like
and
a,
then,
I like, got like, it.
Beatnik.
Nah,
sort
yeah.
of.
Yeah. I got it.
There's nothing okay. Beatnik Not the sounding vegetable. About it at all, maybe. I don't know. Other than the fact that they're, like, the proto-hipster kind of beat generation.
I kind of feel like you're burying the lead a little bit. I mean, wouldn't you say that they had a particular sound that was, like, very sincere and very simple, almost like like Jonathan Richman.
The first couple records, first Black Candy and Beat Happening are their first two records, and they're very, they're in the sort of, not Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers, Jonathan Richman writing basically kids' songs after the Modern Lovers, or in the new Modern Lovers, not the, if you know what I'm talking about, then I don't have to
Jonathan
explain myself.
Jonathan Richman has been explored on the podcast before.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Is there one specific song you would recommend from any of the albums?
I don't know. Like, their first album is definitely, like, the cutest, and there's, like, 30 songs on it or something.
Yeah.
Some of them are, like, 45 seconds long.
Oh, okay.
Black Candy's probably my favorite record. Playhouse is a good song.
I had a playhouse where we can run. We'll mess around and have some fun.
Or a pajama party in a haunted house.
Okay, listen.
Oh, man.
Listen.
Wow, the hipster ratio.
He just
off the charts.
He just,
man.
With that song title, it's everything. That's everything you need to know about Beat Happening. It
and
sounds exactly like what you
like
think.
The later records, they added electric guitars, and things got a little darker and more sexual,
that's,
I think.
That's sacrilegious. Listen, Beat Happening with electric guitars is like when Dylan went electric.
Oh, no, it was. That's good.
Oh,
it's all good.
I'm definitely listening to
Indian Summer is like the song that's like people put on all the mixtapes when people made mixtapes.
Breakfast in cemetery, boy tasting wild cherry, touch girl apple blossom, just a boy playing possum. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. We'll come back for Indian summer. The bread way.
That's from Jamboree, also available on Freakle. Amanda, let me please
okay,
dig me
I'll
out of
it. This. I'll dig it out of this hole.
Yeah.
Then I'm
going
to dig around.
Going off the rails.
But anyway, so I want to redeem my number one pick by first mentioning the fact that Adele's new album, 25, is on Freakle. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. I just downloaded it this morning, so I can't talk about it officially on the podcast, but I did want to mention. So instead, my number one pick for the year is going to be Jack U by Skrillex and Diplo. This is officially a whole album, but I can't admit that my favorite song of the year has Justin Bieber anywhere near it.
I got halfway through the song and I'm like, yeah, it's Bieber.
I kind of want to mock myself a little bit, but and that song is called Where Are You Now.
And I was on my knees when nobody else was praying. Oh Lord. Where are you now that nature? Where are you now that I need you?
Uptown Funk was my husband's jam, then this one has to be mine. And I mentioned it back on a Tickle Fancy segment when I first found it, and since then the song has done pretty well. In July, well after my mentioning it here on the podcast, the track peaked at number eight on the Billboard Hot 100, and on July 14th it was officially certified platinum in the United States. So you're welcome, Justin Bieber. The Pop Medic podcast totally saved your career.
I gave you attention when nobody else was paying.
The Popmatic bump.
Yes, that's right. So the song also went to the top 10 in Australia, so we can say thanks to Gary from Perth for helping it go international.
Awesome.
So even if Where Are You Now is my favorite, there are some other great songs on the album. For instance, Take You There featuring Keezah and Missy Elliott. And if you haven't heard the album yet, the library has the CD, which is this round thing that you put in a box that plays music.
I've heard of those.
You're just taking all my jokes.
I do what I can. And then Where Are You Now is on Bieber's fourth album called Purpose, which just came out this past December. Jack U is kind of has been my go-to album for when I need a little EDM dubstep pick me up.
When you talk about Justin Bieber, you're not talking about my grandfather. No,
married to Florence.
Yeah, true. Justin Bieber sang.
It would be funnier if I did. That was true.
You turned me on to that song when you first talked about it earlier in the year, and I like that song a lot. And then you know Skrillex produced most of that new Bieber album.
I know, and it's not horrible, which is just, I can't say that. To go lock myself in the closet with Jeremy.
I'm not hating on anybody. I like that song. Diplo knows how to make a beat, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So my number one, I think anyone that knows me probably would not be surprised by this, is Art Angels by Grimes. I talked about this record all year. It finally came out. I would describe it as maximalist art pop. Each song is its own little piece. If the album has a flaw, it's that it doesn't really hang together as an album, but, you know, she's a youngster, and I don't think she thinks in terms of albums. I think she thinks in terms of singles, like all the kids do nowadays. Each song, though, I will say, is super catchy. Like, you will sing all of them. If I have a favorite song on the record, it's probably Kill versus Mame.
Thank you.
Spin Magazine also said that was the best song, and I agree with them. Now, this record is a lot brighter compared to Visions, her first album that really kind of broke her into like a bigger audience, kind of mainstream. Like when she was doing promos for Visions, she was dropping names like Skinny Puppy and Witch House and Jedi Mind Tricks. But this record, she's definitely indulging her love of Taylor Swift and K-pop. That's okay with me. It's all good. I don't have any hatred. It's just not as goth as the first one. This album is everywhere. I'm sure you've probably heard of it. If you haven't, you should check it out. It's amazing. Now, today, the day that we're recording, this album has not been released in a physical format. And the library's downloadable services do not have a licensing deal with 4AD, the record label that she's on. But I have been told that we will buy this CD, which Amanda explained to you, if you're listening, what that is, when it comes out December 11th, 2 days from now.
Correction. Art Angels by Grimes is on order at the library, and you can put it on hold right now.
I listened to that. I like that album, too. Like, I saw it come out, and I was like, oh, that's Grimes. Brian always listens to it, and so I listened to it. But it is good.
Yeah, it's a little different than
it's,
that.
You're right. It is bright and shiny, though. It's not...
Yeah.
Darken.
The other one was more like Fairy in a Forest,
yeah.
I think, you know, with goblins. And this one is like more like radio. But Art Angels by Grimes.
I'm getting on the bandwagon now, what can I say?
Welcome to the club.
Hey, guys.
Hey, hey Brian.
What do we do?
Well.
On Tickle My Fancy.
Well. Maybe the library has it.
Maybe the library doesn't. But either way, it's tickling our fancy.
Sarah? Tickling my fancy? It gets creepier every time.
Yeah, I know. We all sound like we're going to, like, murder people.
Maybe we are. Okay. Well, this is my favorite time of year, and not just because of the holidays. It's because college basketball has started back up again. Yeah, I know. Okay. This is the time of year that you might find me watching my favorite team play via GameCast when I'm at the desk. Did I just say that? Yes.
Uh-oh.
That'll happen.
Tune in next week when we say goodbye to Sarah.
She no longer works.
It's your farewell episode.
Well, my mood might also change depending on whether my team is winning or not. So if you see me at the desk, kind of unhappy, you'll know why.
Why is your desk on fire?
Yeah, exactly.
It's getting upside down.
Folks are flying. What's going on? Well, in the spirit of college basketball, I am recommending a great book that the library has two copies of. They should have more, but it's called Underdogs, How Brad Stevens and the Butler Bulldogs Marched Their Way to the Brink of College Basketball's National Championship.
I don't know what any of those words
mean. Nope.
That's okay.
This is like a foreign language to me.
Long title, but let's just go with Underdogs for short. I'm a little biased, possibly, considering Butler is my alma mater and my team, but I think this book is a great read for all basketball and sports fans alike. Maybe not Duke fans. Though, if you're a Duke fan, stop listening now.
They don't read. It's okay.
Yeah, it's true. written by Indianapolis Star sports writer and adjunct professor at Butler, David Woods, it's a well-told story of how mid-major Butler danced their way to the championship game in 2010. Spoiler alert, this book was written before 2011, and they danced their way to 2011 again and lost again. But the book starts from the very beginning of Butler's sports programs in the 1920s and progresses from there. If you love basketball, then you probably know of the name Hinkle, which happens to be Butler's arena named in honor of former honorable basketball and football and baseball coach Tony Hinkle.
Triple
basketball,
play.
Oh, yeah. He did all those things. It's like the basketball cathedral in Indiana. Pretty much everyone knows it. And the movie Hoosiers. It's in that movie as well.
That's how I knew.
Yep. Butler's in Indiana.
It's in Indianapolis.
It is, yes, that unknown state. Yep.
People in Indiana like basketball, right?
Mm-hmm. And corn. Those are our two things.
Mm-hmm.
You're from Indiana, too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I grew up there.
Amphetamines? Oh, sorry.
That's Kentucky.
Yeah, really.
Jeremy's not here to defend himself. So.
Either way, so the library, like I said, has two copies, as I mentioned. Be sure to check them out. If you love David and Goliath stories, you'll enjoy this one.
Every year, like when basketball season starts, my mom makes us watch Hoosiers. It's kind of like a Christmas movie, but it's like a basketball season movie.
I've seen it about 5,000 times. Yeah. At Butler, if you didn't watch it before you got there, they were like, ain't getting in.
Yeah, it's handed out to freshmen coming into the dorm.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mike?
Oh.
Are we supposed to say it in a creepy way? Or
yeah,
say
no, we do it in a normal way.
Okay.
Well, I visited Indiana this year, and if you're ever,
you did.
If you're ever in Indianapolis, go to the Museum of Art.
I went to Holiday World this year. That's in Indiana.
In the middle Santa Claus of nowhere. You don't see it until you literally go
there's
over
there. There's nothing else there, but...
Yeah.
There's like a nuclear power plant or something
it's
right
where,
there.
Wow.
That's how they power the rest.
Really?
Jay Cutler is from... Yeah.
The nuclear power plant?
Yes, Jay Cutler is from nuclear power plant.
I've
yes.
seen billboards with this.
He plays basketball.
Football.
Jay Cutler's football. He's a quarterback of the Bears.
I don't know. For all
the
I know, Bears. He doesn't cover.
Who just beat the Packers? Don't tell my husband.
And he played his college ball at
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
They have football there.
Not good football.
Yeah, I heard they got trounced by UT, which is my alma mater every year. This is going to be the briefest of brief reviews because I didn't write anything, so expect me to say like about 1,000 times. But I thought it was a cool runner-up to my... the music episode. I've mentioned a song I discovered earlier this year on the Onion AV Club. It's kind of fun listening to their music section. This is like a wonderful year for music for me because, I mean, you know, I finally learned that if there's a song you're vaguely interested in and there's a good review of it, you could listen to it immediately as opposed to buying it and then finding out it's hot garbage.
Welcome to 2012.
Yeah, I'm a little behind the times. So anyway, the band is called Rat-a-Tat-Tat. The song is called Abrasive, which sounds almost like a Saturday morning cartoon theme song. Kind of amazing from the 80s. off the CD Magnifique, which surprisingly enough we do not have on streaming, but we have on physical CD, so good times.
I think you added an extra tat on the name of the band.
Rat-a-tat.
There's three ats.
I think maybe you wrote too many.
Future correction, gang.
I'm sorry.
We'll find out. And Mike gets the internet and is in shame next week. Yeah, an episode correction. I think he's right. It's Rat-at-at, which is just a bad name. Anyway.
Rat-at-at?
Yeah. I think it's Rat-a-tat is how you would say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I would say yeah. Rat-a-tat. Too. See,
I realize that's like, the second yeah. time that I've tried to call you out on a band name today, and I don't mean to. I'm
that's
sorry.
Okay. I'll just, you know, continue to dread whenever you're a guest.
Okay.
Baby Mamenda.
What does Mike say here?
Baby Mamenda.
Well, I'm going to talk about a book. A while ago, I had mentioned the book Cinder by Marissa Meyer, and it's in the Lunar Chronicles book, and we talked about, because it's like the retelling of the fairy tales, but now Cinderella's a cyborg. So that series has had a bunch of... Brian's doing the robot in the corner. it's had a bunch of books come out. The final one, called Winter, finally came out just this past month, and it wraps up the whole series. Throughout the series, we get Cinderella, we get Little Red Riding Hood, we get Rapunzel, and then Winter is based on kind of Snow White and kind of that series. But at this point, and they kind of intertwine all of them, so you kind of lose a little bit of the fairy tale-ness out of it, but it was still good. So, and it's long. It's like, I don't want to say 700 pages because they had a lot to wrap up. So if you have been reading that series, make sure you don't miss the final book, Winter.
Corrections! Oh, where to start?
Whoa, okay. I thought we did really well this time.
Actually, it wasn't bad. These are addendums, you know, clarifications.
Abbreviations.
I was talking about the copyright license around MP3s, and Jeremy brought up Neil Young's high-fidelity format called Pono.
I can see why that didn't catch on.
I feel morally obligated to point out that I was talking about the copyright and software license around the formats, like not the relative fidelity or quality of the audio formats. there are open and free audio formats that have very, high fidelity. And
Yes, the book went into detail about that they didn't like MP3. I mean, they found a better version of MP3. Like,
the same person invented a better version of the AAC.
Yeah. That they preferred and that Apple uses in iTunes.
Which is still not an open format,
as opposed to
like OGG or FLAC. Yes. But anyway, I digress. I could do a whole show about that. No joke.
I know you're not joking.
So the other thing that I kind of wanted to point out, at the very, very end of the show, I slipped in Mark Maron being a grumpy middle brow snob about
Harry. I wondered who that was.
I was like, what's Mark Maron had to do with
that? Who's that? That's not everybody on our podcast.
I think he pretty much summed up my take on what I read and what I don't. That's why that was on there at the end. But that was from the November 16th episode of the WTF podcast with Mark Maron. And the other voice you heard was that of Daniel Radcliffe, who played Harry Potter in the Harry Potter movies, if you've ever heard of
see him
those.
In Victor
Who's
Frankenstein.
Yeah, really, yeah.
In theaters now. Might not be when this is posted.
For more information about Elijah Wood lookalikes, you can go to
www.library.nashville.org.
Our theme music is by
Adam Dean.
Yeah, the newbies have nothing to say.
Yeah.
Have fun. Next week. Next week, what's next week? The best show of the year.
Oh, boo. Movie time. our popskers.
Best movies of the year. It's the show Bill's been waiting for all year. I think I can guess one of Bill's picks. I think I can guess one of Amanda's picks. I think I can guess one of Mike's picks.
Art Angels was my uncle's name.
Today in the family. Wow, Jesse's family on the podcast.
Very musically inclined.
I think that was one of those jokes too many, actually. I'm sorry.
You did it to yourself.
Yeah, rule three.
That was at the very end. It was easy for me to cut.
I prefer giant headphones and earbuds.
Do you have Beats?
I think I have a weird, like, ear canal or something. No, I have Motor headphones. They exist. I bought one of the last ones.
Your fandom is deep and true.